Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion, Lady A, Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
Should President Biden run again in 2024? Mr. Nadler.
Too early to say. It doesn't serve the purpose of the Democratic Party to deal with that until after the midterms.
Ms. Maloney.
I don't believe he's running for re-election.
There's so much more to say, but I'm anxious to hear from all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do I sign this order now? I'm going to sign this executive order right now, okay? Wish I were with you in person, quite frankly, but I'm getting there.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity. The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America. This is a special edition of The Sean Hannity Show. America trapped behind enemy lines. Day number 359.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. So we just hear the president now testing negative from COVID 2 days in a row. The president took the antiviral Paxlovid, been taken by a lot of people. You know, most people that I've talked to have had pretty good results with it, but about 20-some-odd% of the time you have what's known as a rebound or rebound COVID, where, you know, you test negative and then 4 or 5 days later you test positive again. And that's what happened in the case of Dr. Fauci, and it's what happened in the case of Joe Biden. Fairly more common than I think most people actually know. Anyway, but Biden, remember, he said if you got the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. You might remember.
We're not in a position where we think that any virus, including the Delta virus, which is much more transmissible and more deadly in terms of unvaccinated people, the various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you had the vaccinations. He said that, by the way, this was after the Delta variant, which was the first breakthrough variant. And then, of course, you got Fauci, flip-flop Fauci on lockdowns and shutdowns and flipping and flopping and flailing pretty much all over the place.
I wonder if you would recommend locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
Well, you know, again, it's first of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down. You're asking me questions. You're talking about the CDC is the public health agency that uses their epidemiologists and their science-based approach to make recommendations. It was a decision to make a recommendation to the president. It wasn't my decision that I could implement. And when it became clear that when we had community spread in the country with a few cases of community spread, this was way before there was a major explosion like we saw in the Northeastern Corridor driven by New York City metropolitan area, I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Shut the country down. How's that going to work? A disaster. Anyway, one of the things now that is happening, there seems to be an attempt to get Americans all panicked over this monkeypox outbreak. I think we're up to 7,000 or 8,000 cases now around the country. I'm not there yet, nor am I ever going to trust the NIH, the CDC, Dr. Fauci, Joe Biden, or any other politician. Again, I'm just never going to trust them because they were wrong every single solitary step of the way on so much as it relates to COVID-19. Anyway, Dr. George Farid is back with us. He, along with Dr. Brian Tyson, authored the bestseller Overcoming the COVID Darkness, How Two Doctors Successfully Treated 7,000 Patients. This rebound COVID after people take the antiviral Paxlovid is fairly common. What percentage of the time do you see it happening?
Hi, Sean. Thank you again for having us on your show and for everything that you've done. By the way, our book, you supported it, which is great. It was a bestseller in Germany. It was translated into German, and the title was changed to COVID-19 Treatable Since 2020, and that seemed to that's the truth. But regardless, the rebound occurs probably up to 20% of the time, and that's because it's not being used the way the experts in COVID treatment, such as Brian and myself, those that have been on the front lines through the whole pandemic, fought it from the very beginning when Paxlovid wasn't available, when monoclonals weren't available, but other antivirals were available and very effective and still are. In any case, we've always used a cocktail, a combination of agents, and that's what's needed with Paxlovid or molnupiravir. He could have received a monoclonal antibody infusion, the Bev antibody that's currently available would have been what I would
what is the what is the
him.
Latest one, because I remember after Sotrovimab, then Eli Lilly's monoclonal became the dominant one being used. Which one's used now for Omicron BA4 or 5?
Bevtovimab. It's Bev for abbreviation BEV, but it's a Lilly product, 2 ml injectable, and it's very important to use in high-risk patients. And what I feel in the case of President Biden and even Fauci, Kevin O'Connor, D.O., is the physician to the president. He is from George Washington University, associate professor. Many of these doctors now treating didn't take the approach of early treatment during the full-blown time of the pandemic, like Brian and I and many others, and Peter McCullough and others have done. A protocol was developed, and what we found was that you needed to use multi-drug treatment to prevent rebound, to prevent breakthrough or inefficiency of an agent. And thus, in the case of President Biden, with his pre-existing conditions, which he was on apixaban or Eliquis, they stopped that. Because of interactions with Paxlovid, they stopped the rosuvastatin or statin because of interactions. That wouldn't have been what I would have selected or recommended, because thrombogenesis or clotting is a big problem with COVID-19. So Paxlovid was what they went with, and it led to a rebound in both of these individuals, and it does in up to 20% of people if they don't use in a cocktail, a combination. And I always use azithromycin or doxycycline, zinc, vitamin D, and even, for instance, my brother-in-law is just like President Biden, the same age with the same problems. I treated him with Paxlovid, HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin and ivermectin, zinc, and vitamin D, and within 24 hours he was much better and had no rebound. But in any case, that's in a nutshell what I feel is important concept today with all that we have. The monoclonal infusion referred to, Sean, is a very good treatment and would have been an excellent treatment to prevent
In my humble opinion, I think that's been the gold standard that has emerged in all of this. Notwithstanding, you know, as we've all said from the beginning, you fight with the army you have, not the one you wish you had, and you had no army behind you, and yet you were coming up with ways to save people's lives and mitigate symptoms.
Right.
I know in the case of HCQ, there have been, I can't even count how many studies now that show when taken early, mitigate symptoms. And yet it got politicized from the very beginning.
So sad. Yes, so sad. So many people's lives were lost or ravaged because they weren't able to be treated properly in that period of time, 2020 through 2021. And I think that you stated it very well. The monoclonal antibodies are the gold standard, but they can still be improved upon with this combination treatment to sustain their effects.
Well, let me bring in Dr. Your partner in crime here, Dr. Brian Tyson. Again, doctor, congratulations on your book, number one. And number two, I mean, what I'd like this discussion to do is eventually now evolve into how scared should people be of monkeypox? I guess my barometer is when my daughter writes me and says, do I have to worry about this? I'm not a doctor, so I ask the doctors that I trust. But they got everything wrong with COVID as far as I'm concerned. And I just have no faith in Dr. Fauci. I have no faith in the CDC, no faith in the NIH. I think we've been lied to. I think we've been misled. I think it's a lot of it they knew was false, you know, especially about the origins of COVID. And I just don't trust them. So now, and it also seems like they're trying to make this into something very, very big. Is it that big a risk to you?
Yeah, thanks, Sean. And, you know, just to say one more thing, and we'll let the COVID conversation go away, but is the inhaled budesonide is still missing in the treatment protocols across the nation right now. Just to remind people, it's still an inflammatory response syndrome. So when you start to see that inflammation, you got to treat it. So I'll let that go to bed.
You're talking about the steroid, correct?
Yeah, I'm talking about the steroid. And so that's still just been basically just pushed off to the side. And I think that's tragic.
Let me ask you real quick before we get off this. Do you worry that the next variant could be as deadly as, say, the original variant or the Delta variant?
We always have to worry about it. And we're starting to see a little uptick in severity of symptoms. And again, I think it goes back to the antibody-dependent enhancement. We're basically suppressing the immune system by continuing to vaccinate through the pandemic and through the variants. So that spike protein is still very inflammatory mediated. It's still causing the cytokine issues. It's still causing the blood clotting. And now we're starting to see pneumonia starting to pop back up in individuals who are fully vaccine boosted. So that inhaled budesonide component is still a valuable tool that needs to be used in combination. You know, George hit it right. It's about multi-drug therapy, not monotherapy. We didn't use monotherapy with HIV. We don't use monotherapy very often when it comes to severe viral or even bacterial infections. So let's not, chase the clock and say, okay, well, this didn't work. Well, let's try it again. It didn't work. And then we're behind the eight ball because we're, 10 to 14 days later into a problematic issue. When you looked at the San Diego study and they're looking at the severity of reactions and mortality, it's basically showing that these vaccines are ineffective, period.
We continue with Dr. Brian Tyson and Dr. George Farid. They wrote the bestseller, Overcoming the COVID Darkness, Two Doctors Successfully Treating Thousands of Patients. You can get it on Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. Let me ask you both, and maybe we'll start with you this time, Dr. Tyson, and that is, how worried should people be about monkeypox, and what is monkeypox?
So monkeypox is a viral contagion that is spread by contact. Right now, 98% of it is still in the gay population. It's male-to-male contact, and it will spread to the heterosexual community if we don't get a handle on the gay community to stop the transmission. They need to treat it like the first outbreak of HIV. We've been through this before. If they have a stop contact for 4 to 6 weeks, we can probably eliminate the spread of it. But the CDC and the NIH, they're afraid to come out and tell the gay community to stop having intercourse until this pandemic goes away. But right now, that seems to be what the spread is. The mortality rate actually is pretty
low. And in
low.
Other parts of the world, though, it's 40% heterosexual community. So you're saying that that would be the next, I guess, transmission area that it goes to?
Right. It's contact. It's not airborne. So, you know, again, you can limit contact. You can limit the spread just like any other skin contagion. You know, you got to be careful with what you're doing and who you're being in contact with. But, you know, it's a lot more manageable than anything that would be aerosolized or respiratory.
Your take, Dr. Farid.
Well, I agree with what Brian said. There are a couple of things that I think are really important. One is that, unfortunately, the mass vaccination with these gene therapies, COVID vaccines, has the ability to weaken the immune system and make people more vulnerable to viral infection. So there is a potential for this to becoming more serious because of impaired immunity that's been generated by the spike protein being repetitively introduced into people. Beyond that, the contagion control is the key. Using good safe measures, safe sex measures is what is needed, and then recognizing that a vaccine can be offered to selective groups that's effective.
Well, what do you think about the vaccine? Apparently it's in short supply, but putting that aside, there is a vaccine for it. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm worried that it can cause myocarditis, though, unfortunately, like the COVID vaccines can. It's not very common, but my feeling is that it will be still applicable, useful for certain high risk individuals, and then there's a direct treatment, an antiviral, TPOXX, that is in limited supply, but can be made available for those that need it. So again, it's going to come down to being realistic about this, not being afraid or frightened by this. It's not nearly as contagious as COVID-19 or respiratory viral infections.
And some countries apparently have been able to rid itself of any cases for years, and then it mysteriously pops back up again, right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. There are two types that come from the Congo. The one that's out now, spread now, is not quite as virulent or as dangerous as the second one that exists. The clan or two different sections of this monkeypox.
I'll tell you, the pictures of the lesions, I mean, it's kind of that's scary in and of itself. But we'll keep an eye on it, and we appreciate both of you. Congratulations to both of you as well, overcoming the COVID darkness. How two doctors successfully treated 7,000, I guess it's probably up to 10,000 by now, patients during COVID. Thank you both for being with us and what you do every day to help people live longer lives and save lives. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you.
Quick break, right back.
Sean's got more behind the scenes information, more contacts than anybody, more friends behind the curtain. Sean Hannity is on.
25 to the top of the hour. We'll get to the phones, 800-941. Sean, first, you got to laugh at this on fake news CNN. I guess anchor Dana Bash. You know, Biden's list of accomplishments, they're just too long to list in this entire segment. So please list them. I want to put them up on the screen, scroll them, and you can keep doing the talking part. Listen.
I want to just even look more broadly beyond this bill and look at some of President Biden's successes on his agenda. It's a long list, and I don't even have time to read it. It's that long. But not only what we're talking about now, $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, bipartisan gun safety bill, veterans, so on and so forth.
Dana Bash. Oh, I don't even really know. I've heard her name before. That's how little I watch fake news CNN. That's the list of accomplishments. There are no accomplishments. If you're going to talk about this monstrosity of raising taxes and spending money on new Green Dealism as a victory, good luck to you. And good luck selling that to the American people in November, because I don't think it's going to work. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. Kelly is in Georgia. Kelly, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean. Such a pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasures. By the way, I have one thing to say to my friends in Georgia. You guys better get your political act together down there. I mean, all I read about is, you know, Republican infighting. You better understand you're going to live and die and succeed or fail together. The primaries are over. Now everybody needs to help Herschel win the Senate race. That race is important.
Absolutely. It's very critical to the success of our state and also defeating Stacey Abrams, for governor in a couple of years. So we need to really.
Could you imagine the woman that says it's the worst state to live in, that single-handedly got rid of the All-Star game? I can't even believe she's polling in double digits based on that.
It's kind of Atlanta and the rest of the state. So
that's true.
It's very much Atlanta and the rest of the state. So I just hope the rest of the state can pull together and we can make that happen. So
what's going on?
Well, last week you had a wonderful segment on school boards that are passing these provisions that mandate that teachers keep secrets from parents. That's been going on across the country. And the red flag that raised for me as a teacher is that in all the training that I go through to spot child sexual predators, one of the red flags is looking for adults that encourage children to keep secrets from their parents. That's part of the whole grooming process, to be able to exploit children. So my question is, how is it not grooming when school districts are mandating teachers keep secrets from parents?
It's so interesting what you say is, I think every single parent, and I'm not the best at giving out parental advice to anybody, but every parent needs to tell their children from a young age moving forward, no secrets. You can tell me anything. Whatever it is, don't worry. You know, tell me anything. Tell me everything. I tend to agree with you. Any adult that is not a parent, I just find it highly inappropriate that they would say, oh, sure, we'll take you and we'll get you an abortion, or we'll give you birth control, or if you want to change your gender, you don't have to tell mom and dad. It's not their place to do so. And I find it the height of arrogance and just so audacious, the idea that there are people that think they're so superior in their own moral values that they feel that they would have the right to take a kid for an abortion without consulting the parents, or giving them birth control without consulting the parents, or letting them go through some type of gender reassignment without consulting the parents. It's not their job. They're not, these parents are not potted plants. Let's put it that way.
Well, and, you know, another thing that I noticed that came across my news feed one morning while I was, you know, just kind of scrolling through what was up since overnight, is that there was some news outlet had said that even some of the social media platforms have started censoring the name groomer. And grooming, kind of anybody who comes out that way against these school boards and these school districts that are passing these keep secrets from parents mandates, that when you bring that up in a social media post and you use the word groomer or grooming, they're taking those posts down, because it is. That is the definition of a groomer, is someone who encourages secrets be kept from parents. And
you know, the fact
like
that
it.
We have these predators of kids, but this just infuriates me, because they feel that they have every right, and they actually feel they have a moral responsibility because they think they're so superior to circumvent values of parents. You know, those parents that brought those kids into the world, those kids wouldn't exist without those parents. They have their own set of value systems. We don't send our kids, you know, to go get their value system from some stranger in public school. We send them there to learn how to read, write, do math, do science, learn a little history, learn computers, and then go home. We don't send them there so that they can have a forced, you know, a captive audience of kids so they can brainwash them and instill their values that circumvent parental values. So you raise a good point, but you're one of the good teachers, so we don't have to worry about you, Kelly, but appreciate the call. 800-941-SHAWN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. Let's say hi to Donna in Tennessee. Donna, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Good afternoon, and thank you for talking with me today. I'm actually calling, I'm in Tennessee, but calling about the Connecticut Republican primary tomorrow, which, you know, you don't hear a lot about because, as always, the Connecticut State Rhinos endorsed a 22-year career politician who votes with Blumenthal quite frequently. So fast forward to this past Thursday evening when President Trump endorsed Leora Levy, a true conservative, a career American, not a career politician, who President Trump must obviously think can win. And I just think we should all follow his lead and fight for blue states because they're not entirely blue. It's like the call a moment ago, the lady from Georgia that was talking about Atlanta.
Well, I think we learned that with Glenn Youngkin, and we nearly learned it in the governor's race in New Jersey. And if New Jersey can go red, certainly Connecticut could. Look, it's definitely a long shot. I'll tell you what I'm seeing more of, which is more interesting, though, to me.
That?
Yeah. Is like in Buckhead, which used to be a suburb of Atlanta, and I live there, you know, they want to secede. They want to get away from Atlanta, and they want their own, they want their own community, their own police force, because they're tired of being, you know, part of a city that has bought into this wokeness and no bail laws and defund and dismantle police, et cetera. Now, there is a measure that would allow San Bernardino County supervisors to explore secession from the state and whether they can put that before the voters in November. Because the Board of Supervisors approved a ballot measure at a meeting on Wednesday night, and the issue is not the issue had been raised at several board meetings. And Wednesday's vote was the first step in adding the measure to the ballot to be followed by a second and final reading and a vote scheduled for next week. So the citizens of San Bernardino County want the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors to study all options to obtain its fair share of state and federal resources up to and including secession, according to the proposal. And voters can select yes or no.
Right.
I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more of this. And, you know, I would rather, of course, always be the United States of America. But but when you get to a point where you have such irreconcilable differences, these instances don't surprise me.
Right. But I think your point in New Jersey, again, that I think that's a very fair and legitimate comparison. But, you know, if there ever was a time that Blumenthal was vulnerable, it's now. And he's not, and we're not going to make a dent up there without a true conservative. Again, someone with a stark, bold contrast that can again, have a shot at chinking that armor. Because he, again, a career politician is no better. The one that votes right along with him. A rhino, you're getting the same thing.
Listen, all these races, I'm going to run. I'm not going to get into the weeds of all these races. But if you want Chuck Schumer's, you know, partner in crime, stick with Blumenthal. Because, you know, like every Democrat, he's a reliable 95%er. Almost every single Democrat, even Joe Manchin, is 91 or 2% with Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders. I mean, it's just a facade. And they say he is, you know, the moderate in the party. Okay, he didn't want to get rid of the judicial filibuster and cloture, but that hardly makes him the right winger that he claims to be. Anyway, appreciate the call. Quick break, right back. We'll hit the phones. 800-941-SHAWN, our number if you want to be a part of the program. Right. right, back to our busy phones. 800-941-SHAWN, our number. Bob is in New Mexico. Bob, how are you? Glad you called.
I'm great, and actually, I just wanted to give a quick firsthand account of the evils of Biden inflation and gas prices that put my wife and I's small business out of business over the last year.
Oh, no.
We own
what kind of business?
We own a non-emergency medical transport company. About 90% of our business takes care of Medicaid patients. And over the last year, with the increase in gas hike and no way to pass that on to my customer base, over the last 3 weeks, I've had to look 20 people in the eye and tell them they didn't have jobs anymore.
So you couldn't charge more for the transport, again, non-emergency transport of patients. Maybe they need dialysis or some other procedure. Why they wouldn't pay more, or their insurance companies wouldn't pay more?
Exactly. Medicaid is about 90% right. of it. And yeah, so Medicaid has given no increases actually in the state of New Mexico in 19 years for Medicaid transportation.
So you just can't do it. You cannot keep your business open and make a profit.
No. As a matter of fact, the last 2 months that we were open, my wife and I paid salaries out of our personal account. There was no money left in the business account, hoping that we could get it to turn around and that maybe gas prices would start falling. But it just didn't happen.
So what are you going to do next?
Well, we own a we just opened up a cannabis dispensary here. That's recreational cannabis in New Mexico. So we're fine. I mean, it's my wife and I are going to be okay. But, you know, to have to look all those people in the eye some of those people were here. From
well, obviously,
one.
It was something that you're passionate about. So now you're basically selling weed to people. Do you smoke weed?
I'm not much of a user. Quit being a pothead about 20 years ago.
Right.
But it's a great business model.
You're making money off of weed. Look, I understand. Sure. I understand the legality of it. I think that the ship has sailed. I think the states are going to make their decisions on it. And so many of them have leaned in the direction of New Mexico. I still see it as a gateway drug. I see it that way. Do you not see that?
From personal experience, I'm going to say no. I started smoking pot probably in the 70s and 80s when I was a teenager.
Pot today is nothing like back then, is it?
Oh, no. And every now and again, because I will sample and make sure I've got, you know, good stuff I'm passed on to people. No, it's a whole different ballgame.
All right, meaning it's that much more potent.
Much exactly. What used to, you sit down and smoke a couple of bong loads with your buddies, now a couple of hits off a joint, and I'm done for hours. It's much more intense than it used to be.
That's crazy. Well, at least, look, you have a way to put food on your table, and obviously there's a high demand for all of that. The only thing I can say about people that smoke weed regularly, and there are exceptions that I have met in my life, is usually they're not the most productive people in the world. Usually they're just, you know, kind of going through life, and but that's been my broad sweeping generalization. And then people go on other, you know, now the latest thing is now they want to legalize psychedelics, mushrooms and all that stuff, hallucinogens.
Right. And, you know, and they may have a place somewhere, but I'll tell you, our clientele, and we do run more of a boutique high-end sort of business. I got tons of professionals. I really don't have any of the non-productive folks for the most part that are part of my clientele. I think it may be a little more widespread than we all thought.
And so they're using this instead of, say, going home and having a cocktail.
Absolutely. I hear a lot of that.
All right. Appreciate the call. Good luck to you and your wife and your business. I only wish people the best. I don't know. Linda, would you ever open up a weed store?
I would do the medicinal cannabis for the kids with seizures, 100%.
Okay.
Like Charlotte's Web. We did an interview on that years ago.
Yeah,
I thought that was really interesting.
No, I mean, their CBD products are made from the hemp plant, but they just don't have the...
Well, it takes out the THC
in it.
Right.
Right.
But
right.
I do think there are some medicinal properties, like... I've had a few uncles who died of pretty painful cancers, and they both had this medicinal weed that they took, and it was the only thing that took the pain away. So I think there are some ancillary medicinal benefits.
Well, I certainly would pick that over, say, OxyContin or one of these
exactly.
You know, harsh painkillers, right?
100%.
Or fentanyl even.
Totally agree with that.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.